Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. I have a really, really fun one for you today. One of my absolute best friends in the wine business, a cast member of many shows that we've done on SOM TV, and an upcoming film that I've directed, Megan Zobeck, is on the podcast today to talk about a lot of different things. Meg, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jason. How are you?
I'm so glad that I was able to con you into coming back on.
You always do.
So on today's podcast, we're going to talk about your wines, M. Zobeck wine, which we did speak about on a prior podcast about Beaujolais.
Yep.
And we're also going to talk about what it's like to actually live, work, date, do things in Napa that most people have to do. When you think of Napa, most people are travelers in and out. They're not living their lives up there. So we're going to have a very funny conversation about what it's like to do those things in Napa. Before you and I talk about all of those things, though, I do want to tell people to go to SOMTV.com. I want to tell you that we have over 500 hours of the best educational and entertainment content you can find. We have new episodes of things like Chef's Notebook airing, streaming right now, and a lot more coming, including some new Behind the Glass in Oregon and lots of stuff. And you can also catch Megan in Sparklers and several other shows on SOMTV, right, Meg?
That's correct.
Let's get into your life right now. First of all, I want to say, I was blinded on your wine, your M. Zobeck wines, and I was completely wrong on what it was. I thought someone was blind tasting me on Raj Parr's Domaine de la Cote from Somme 3.
Nice.
And I'm curious, like, what you'd think that I called that. Is that a compliment, or is that not what you're going for? I was blown away by your wine. It was so good.
Thank you. I mean, I'm stoked. Obviously, it means more to me that my friends and peers in the wine industry like my wine. Outside of that, I'm like, okay, I can, you know, if somebody else doesn't like it, whatever. But, you know, there are several people that are important to me that I'm like, oh man, if they don't like my wine, it's going to be really weird. So I was stoked that you love the wine. And comparing it to Domaine de la Cote from Raj is a huge compliment for sure.
I would say your friends and peers, though, don't have a lot of money, nor do they spend a lot of money on wine. They just seem to get wine. So you want others to like it, too. Just some advice.
True.
So let's talk about just a few seconds of, let's plug your wine. Let's make sure people know that it's out there. It's a Gamay, 100% Gamay.
Yep.
You're sourcing the fruit from up.
The Sierra foothills is where the Gamay came from that you tried.
How's it going?
It's great. So that Gamay is actually sold out, which is awesome. And I've had people seem to really enjoy it, which is always fun for me. Honestly, I have like really fun customers, which has been pretty awesome. I've gotten to talk to several people, which is really fun. So connecting to people across the U.S. And then I'm getting ready on next Friday to bottle my Cabernet. So my second release is going to be a cool climate cab from the Mossa Vineyard in Carmel. I work with Ian Brand out there. He actually saved me in 2021 because I wasn't getting my Gamay because there were fires in the Sierra foothills. So it's own rooted 70-year-old vines, organically farmed. Pretty cool stuff. And I'm excited to be working with it. So I'll be releasing that very soon.
That's great. I do. Anybody listening, when these wines come back up, get a bottle because they're going to disappear again. How much are you making though? Is this a product of you're only making like 6 bottles or it's really good? What's like the reasoning that this is so hard to get a hold of?
I made 3 shot airline size bottles. That's it. Ultra small production. No, so I have a small amount of that only because it was like last minute that I wasn't going to get my fruit in 21. So I was literally, I mean, I was getting ready to truck some fruit in from Oregon, but everyone had low yields in 21. So no one had extra fruit. So Ian came through for me and broke me off some of his fruit from one of his blocks that he normally takes from. So Ian's a homie. And then 21 again, or I mean, sorry, 22, I again didn't get this same Gamay because then they had frost. So it was just like 2 brutal years from Mother Nature. So in 21, I actually got some Syrah from a vineyard called Griffin's Lair. Pax also makes some wine from there. And then I got the Mossa Cab again this year. Because I was like, I have learned my lesson. I need more than one Gamay vineyard. I got all the Gamay. So I'm pulling from a vineyard called Escole, which is Scott Caraccioli, so the Caraccioli family.
Yeah.
They grafted over some Gamay, so I'm working with him. He is awesome. I love working with him. All the growers I'm working with are so rad. It's so fun. So I also got my Barsody Gamay again from the Sierra Foothills. And then I started working with the Alder Springs Vineyard. They have some new Gamay that they planted. So I snatched that up and then I got my cab again. So I have for 2023 vintage, I grew quite a bit, but it won't be out for another couple of years. So it's a ways off.
It's always a great way to make money. Join the wine business.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to keep your day
job. Offline, we were talking about living in Napa and just life up there. And what were we talking about, Meg?
Well, we got sidetracked because it's like, no one wants to hear about the same dumb complaints of the wine industry. That's so boring. But the, you know, like, hey, wine industry, people are saying there's challenges right now selling wine. I think that's boring to talk about.
Uh-huh.
It's stressful. The real hard part of the wine industry and living in the wine industry is dating in the wine industry is way more challenging. And I know that all of my friends, men and women, would probably say the same thing. Dating in the wine industry and living in a wine region, it's like high school. It's pretty brutal. Everyone has dated each other. Everyone's in the wine industry. Like, it's pretty challenging.
Is this because, like, Napa, Sonoma, these places are small worlds? Or is it because they're just literally the wine world is small?
I think both.
Yeah.
Like Napa and Sonoma are small, but everyone is wine or wine adjacent. It's like when you go to a dinner party at one of your friends' houses or whatever, and you meet someone that's not in the wine industry, you're like, oh my God, what's that like? You're in the, it could be the most mundane, and now I can't name it because it's going to insult someone, but it could be the most mundane job, like
they work in finance or something. Like it's like they're,
and you're just like, holy cow, tell me more. What is this thing you call finance? You know, like you're like, what do you do,
like,
when
FICA
you don't
scores,
do wine things?
This is hot.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, oh my God, you file papers? Wow, That sounds cool.
And then, like, probably the opposite happens when you start talking and you're talking about blocks of Beaujolais or Gamay you're getting to them, and they're like,
Yeah. You're like,
wow. Wow, I wonder why you're single. I'm just
rude.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. I mean, I think the same, like, anyone who's single in the wine industry has the same complaint every time we hang out. It's like, oh, it's like, how are wine sales going? It's like, better than dating. Better than dating in the wine industry.
Well, also, too, I mean, for people who work in the wine industry or whatever, you're working a lot. It's not like you have a ton
That's
of free
true.
Time. It's not like you're going to, like, parties and, you know, you're stopping up for happy hour and getting a drink.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're working your ass off. So it's, you don't have a lot of time to, like, mingle with others. So it's kind of like, I think for working professionals, it's like if you didn't meet somebody in college.
Yes.
Which, I mean, my story is pretty boring. I met my wife. I was in film school. We were kids, basically. We got together. We're still married. I'm sure she has a lot of regrets about that whole thing. And like, but like, you know, it's just different. So if you're not lucky or whatever that happened, if that's
sure.
what you wanted, then you have to play the field as an adult. I would be a tough person to date now because I'm formed. You know, I have opinions. Well, I mean, I was like
modelable. You're a piece of Play-Doh.
Yeah, but like, oh, especially with guys. I mean, guys are morons, but like, you know. You know what you're not going to suffer bullshit when you're a professional in their 30s, 40s, whatever.
Right.
So maybe that's why it's hard. Or is it just that the wine industry just sucks and it's hard?
Well, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think, you know, as an adult meeting someone in general, that's probably why the apps and stuff are popular. I've never gone on them before, but I think that's probably how people meet other
you
people
You don't have
now.
To be lonely. Farmers.
Exactly.
Oh, you use Farmers Only? You don't do that?
Oh my God. No? You know, I haven't ventured. Apps scare me. I haven't ventured on any of them. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right about like working so many hours. It's like, who do
so
you meet?
So much I want to say. I can't. So much I want to say.
Oh boy. Yeah. Like you're at these events, you're only meeting wine people or you're only meeting drunk people. And it's not very, you know, like that's like, you don't have a lot of free time and that's who you're meeting when you're out there. So it's like, okay, that's, you just keep meeting more of the same people and seeing more of the same people. You don't really ever kind of like break out of that little
I think in college it was just drunk people too, though. That's the other issue. It's like you just had more tolerance. Just had more tolerance for drunk people.
That's how you met people. Yeah.
I mean,
you're like, you're drunk. So am I. Weird.
Weird. Your roommate's out of town? Let's get married. That's pretty much how I think it happened. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly. But. Like, this seems like a match made in heaven.
Well, the other thing, too, is like, what do you do then? All right, so, and I don't mean you as, I mean the royal you. You know, people who are in the wine industry.
Right.
What do you do? You don't want to use dating apps, fine.
Right.
But I mean, you know, you're not going to, if you're going to like premier Napa Valley every year, you know, what are your chances of meeting, you know, Mr. Right or whatever you're looking for at an event like that? Probably.
Good God.
1%?
I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, when I go to events, I'm definitely not like trying to date anybody. that sounded really bad, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm there for work. Like, I'm working. I'm talking about history and winemaking and I'm doing that. Like, I don't know. It's never on the forefront of my mind. But what I think is hilarious, though, is, and my girlfriends will tell you this too, and even guys, if you're single, anytime you post a picture next to someone, everyone automatically assumes you're dating. Like, I've had so many people where I'm in several pictures with just one person. It doesn't matter if it's a guy or a girl. And they'll be like, wow, you look so happy. When did you guys, you know, start? And I'm like, excuse me? Like, just because, wait a minute. Just because I'm in a picture with someone doesn't mean we're dating. Like, I've had so many people say, you look so happy. I'm so happy for you. And I'm like, that I'm standing next to someone in a picture? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Here's the other thing. People who are married or dating, I think they want everyone else to be like them. So there's this like inherent, it's the same way with people who have kids look at people and they're like, well, why don't you have kids? Like, cause you should have the same pain or whatever I have.
Right.
And so like, I think it's just a natural human thing to be like, I want to herd everybody into what's going on in my life kind of thing. And I think that's both selfish, but also like normal. So I think it's probably not single people that are saying that to you. You know, it's probably people who are like in a relationship who are like, oh, you know, you're like me
bag.
Now. Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a mixed bag. I think it's like, well,
should I put together a mixer? We'll get up there. We'll do a mixer in like
blind
the church
tasting,
basement.
Blind dating.
Meg, listen. The Somme TV Love is Blind like spinoff, but it's all about blind wine tasting and finding your soulmate through wine. Is both the worst idea I've ever heard and the best idea
I've ever heard. Everybody loves a little bit of trash TV, you know, sprinkled in every once in a while. You got to have some stuff that you don't have to think too hard about, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to name names, but my wife only watches that stuff. who also makes the films that I... Okay, let's talk about wine. And is there a wine somebody could be drinking where you're like, sorry, can't date you? Meaning like first impression, they're drinking something. You're like, I'm out.
Like, oh, I'm out. Man. Wow. We're going to fire some shots out here, are we?
Well, I mean, like for instance, they're like,
a wine cooler, maybe.
I don't know. That person might be interesting. That's like your finance guy. Like, they what do you know about a malted beverage? Like, you know, you don't know much about that.
Oh, yeah. Good question. They're just like, wow. I don't know.
What if they're like, I only drink, you know, 100-point cabs and that kind of stuff. You're like,
now you're trying to stir the pot.
I am. I'm baiting you. That is bait.
Baiting me hard. That's bait. I mean, I guess it depends on the 100-point cab, wouldn't it? Yeah.
There's so much that would get me in trouble. I'm trying so hard not to.
No, I can see it's on the tip of your tongue and I'm just like waiting for it.
Where to go? Well, because I mean, you know, talking about dating, alcohol, wine, and then trying not to name names or brands.
Brutal.
All right. At risk of being a creep here. I mean, you have to have guys approaching you. I mean, you are a very successful, very smart woman.
Why, thank you.
I would imagine this is not like, and the same goes for all of like the people I can think of that I believe you're hinting at that I know and are mutual friends of ours. I would assume it's probably just a lack of options, not a lack of opportunities. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think, yeah. And maybe the lack of opportunities is like the chance to meet people at events that aren't like drinking work events, you know, like maybe that's where the lack of opportunity is. But yes. And I think there's also like, I mean, and wine people in general, I think can relate to this, but there's also like, there's a love of life that goes along with being in the wine industry, right? You would think it's a hedonistic product. And so you have to find someone that can like go on adventures with you and is excited to, you know, it's challenging to date someone. You don't have to know about wine, but if someone were like, ugh, yeah, no, I don't drink wine, it would probably be pretty hard, you know, because it's like your whole life revolves around wine. You lose that person if you're in production, you lose that person during harvest wine. So if you were like, ugh, I hate wine.
But I don't know, maybe that could also make it really work. It's kind of like the biggest advice they give actors is don't date an actor.
Yeah, I believe that.
Because it's the problem is you have, it's going to be so passionate and hot, and then it's going to become the opposite.
Right.
Like really quick.
Burn and too so, hot. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to be into what you're doing. So I'm wondering if like you could probably be with someone who's like, I just don't like wine. I don't get it, but I drink beer. You know, you could probably be with somebody that's like that as long as they like love you back and care and understand how hard, right?
I think if they like,
Or are you just like the Jerry Seinfeld of girls where like there's got to be something wrong?
No, definitely. No, I think I probably need to be more picky.
This is the weirdest podcast. This is the weirdest podcast I've ever done.
Wise giving me dating advice right now?
Yeah. You know, the guy who has not dated for 20 years and also probably was awful at it when he did. Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I need to like, actually, I just hired an assistant winemaker, so I'm actually going to leave work. That's actually part of the problem. But having an adventure buddy, you know, like I'm getting ready to go to Beaujolais and Champagne with one of my awesome girlfriends who also just like, she's like a yes person, you know, when I'm like, hey, do you want to randomly go to Beaujolais and Champagne? I was going to go by myself and meet with a bunch of producers, but you want to come with me? She was like, I don't know. And then a week later, she's like, I just got my vacation. Let's go. And I'm like, okay, awesome.
Dude, that's going to rock. Is she in the wine business or no?
She is. Her name is Tommy Kim. She's amazing. Okay. So she's a wine buyer and now she works for a distribution company, but it's going to be so fun, you know, and then I'm going to a soccer game in London. Like I feel like wine industry people, well, sure, you need a balance, but you also need people that are like open to spontaneity and, you know, have a joy for life and want to try new things. And you don't have to be into wine. You know, like I have one girlfriend who's incredible, actually, you know, Brenna Quigley. So her husband.
Adore Brenna.
Yeah. So she's one of my great friends. So when she first started dating her husband,
we should say Brenna's a geologist. She is like one of the
leading
minds in soil, rocks, dirt that I know of in the English language.
Yeah, she's brilliant. We've had her evaluate a couple of our soils. So anyway, she's a good friend. She actually just moved back to California. But when she first started dating her now husband, he didn't know anything about wine, and that didn't matter because he was, I mean—
Well, see, there you go.
But he was curious, you know what I mean? And so that was cool. Like, he was open to trying, and he was curious, and, you know, and so, like, I don't need someone that knows everything about wine. I don't need someone that wants to talk about wine all the time. They can or they don't have to, but just being open to, like, having a glass every now and then, like, I don't need them to blind taste with me. Like, that's not, but, and I think most people in the industry, Jonah Beer, I think most people in the industry would say the same, like, as long as you're like open to like having a glass at the end of the day and you want to like hang out and cook and drink a glass together. Like, but if you're like, I hate wine, then it might be hard.
Like, it would be, like, that would be like, you're a teacher and they hate kids. You know, it's like, you can't, you can't, that of course doesn't, I mean, would be tough. You don't want someone that's the opposite of your like ethos in life, but you know, I think you don't really find a lot of people who are just like, I detest wine. I detest everything about it. You don't find a lot of people like that.
No,
I don't,
which is, I mean, that's part of the fun of being in the industry too, right? Is you get to share something that most people are like excited to have. They're like, oh, cool. Like, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, I think when it comes to wine, to me, it's a natural magnet. You know, it brings people together. But you sort of like, it's not like you can cast it out in the middle of a field and it brings people together, you know?
Right.
It's more of like, it brings the people in the room that are already there together. So
you gotta
be in more rooms, I suppose. But I just laugh about the idea of like Napa being this thing where everyone's dated each other already. Which is a hilarious image and probably scarily pretty true.
You know what's funny? It's literally, I mean, there are times where it's like, so I haven't dated in Napa in a little while.
Why is that? Just
yeah, and I probably...
I'm trying to bait you, like, name names.
I'm like, I think I'm going to date someone out of state. But so...
You're like, he's a 3-star Michelin chef.
No.
No? Okay.
So my girlfriends and I used to, like, when we would get ready, we're like, ooh, I have a first date. We'd send out a text and be like, okay, so has anybody already dated this person? Because it's a legit thing where you're like, oh, cool. Yeah, we went out for like, and it's, I mean, whatever. You can date people that other people have dated already, but it gets a little awkward at dinner parties when everyone's already dated each other. And you're like, wow, it's like looking around like, okay, cool. Brutal. What?
I don't even know. This is like a commune. You guys like all live on a commune or something. I don't know what I'm picturing here.
I've only dated twice in Napa. I'm like kind of a long-term relationship person for better or worse. But
I won't name names. I know a great person that you and I both know. And they have said, this was years ago, they were like, I will never date in Napa.
Yeah. I know, you know, I feel bad placing this stigma on Napa. But if you're in the wine industry, it's a little like...
I bet it's worse in like Beaujolais. Like if you lived in Beaujolais, you're like, I mean, should I go back to Jean-Pierre or Jean-Claude? Yeah. And those are like your options. And then it's like, you know, how old's Jean-Claude's son? Yeah, oh like that's but I'm serious. You and I have both been to these places. Like if you lived in Fleury, it'd be worse than Napa.
Totally. So the place that I worked in Italy that I love, it's a village of 300 people. So they offered to hire me full time. And I was like, I love this place. I want to, you know, they were like, hey, we need someone at the winery with us. And it would just be me and the winemaker. And I was like, oh my God, this is like my dream, but it's 300 people. And I have met most of them, and most of them live with their moms, even though they are not that age anymore. And I'm like,
first time in Italy?
Yeah. I was like, this 300 person village, I was like, of the people that would be eligible to date, I certainly wouldn't date any of them. And I don't want to be, I like being independent and saying like, I'm perfectly happy, but, eventually, maybe I'd want someone and it's not someone in that village. So I cannot move here unless I'm bringing someone with me.
Yeah. So Napa's not that different, though. It's not that unlike it. It just doesn't have the history, you know?
It doesn't. You're right. Yeah. At least it's not 300 people, though. I mean, that's pretty brutal. It feels like 300 people.
This is so great. I can't wait for this social mixer I'm going to plan.
I can't wait for the Jason Wise.
My book on dating is coming out. It's going to be published.
I can't wait for that advice.
Yeah, it's really...
step one.
I haven't found a publisher yet, but, you know, strange.
Weird.
I would think this would be in demand.
I can't wait for your dating app to come out. What's the alternative to Farmers Only?
No Farmers Allowed. That's what it's called. No Farmers Allowed. Well... This has been illuminating. yes. I would like all people listening to this to stay out of Megan Zoback's DMs, please.
Oh my god. Oh god, but you can go to my website and buy my wine.
Slide into my DMs and I'll filter you out. And if I think you're worth it, I will send you off to Meg.
There's a committee. Yeah, Jonah's already volunteered to be on the committee.
This episode brought to you by M. Zoback Wines.
Oh my god.
I don't even know how to end this podcast. How do we wrap this up? So the advice is, if you're moving to Napa, go there with, bring somebody.
Bring someone for the rest of us, even if it's not for you.
Well, to those of you who made it to the end of this podcast, my mom and others, I want to thank you.
High five, Mom.
I love you. You're the best.
love you too.
I mean it. It's so great. And I don't know what to say in the dating stuff because I'm clearly out of my league here, but... I do want everybody to go. Why don't you plug, what's your website so people can go get the wine? Or at least pre-order it or get ready for when you're about to.
Yeah, the next release.
Yeah.
It's mzobeckwines, ZOBECK.com. So awesome. mzobeckwines.com. Yep.
Fantastic. And then when you're done with that, go to somtv.com and watch Sparklers, where Meg, no spoilers, but probably pulls like the greatest comeback since... Not a big Red Sox fan, but maybe since like the Red Sox against the Yankees or something when they won the World Series. But, you know, just like one of the most amazing performances I have seen in a very long time.
Thank you.
In a competitive cooking show. You are an animal.
And, thank you.
I'm impressed. All right. We will talk soon, Meg. Drink something good for me.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
Jason. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.